Live
from Welcome to New York. This is
the Just End the Suffering podcast.
Wait for the win.
Got it!
Here's your host, Mike Phillips.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Just End the Suffering podcast. It's New York Sports Talk and Long Suffering fan host, Mike Phillips. It's our second show of the week here. We did our opening days. We did our March Madness recap here on Monday with Troy Moriello, caught up with the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. That podcast is in your feed right now. We have a second episode this week here. We're going to get into MLB opening day here. We're going to have a two-guest episode here. We're going to be joined just by SNY's Anthony McCarron to talk about the local angles here, preview the season for the Mets and the Yankees. We're also going to do our annual MLB over-unders with our legal correspondent, Phil Freyetti here. We'll see how we're feeling about the win totals here. If you like hearing the Justin Suffering podcast, feel free to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, Amazon, all the usual suspects. Simply search for Just End the Suffering Affair podcast platforms. You can follow episodes there. If you have your feedback and starring as well, to help me with the podcast even better going forward, check out the YouTube page, Mike Phillips on YouTube. Video versions of the conversation with Anthony and Phil are up on YouTube. Again, Mike Phillips on YouTube. Without any further ado, let's get to our opening tab. We'll chat with Anthony McCarron right after this.
3, 2, 1.
Y'all ready for this?
The opening tab.
And here we go.
All right, we are back here. The season is starting here for the baseball team this week. Join me today to break down. Great friend of the podcast, SNY contributor Anthony McCarron is here. Anthony, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for taking the time to come on here. And before we get into the New York angle of it all here, I do want to get your opinion on this crazy Shohei Ohtani situation that's happening right now. We've heard all sorts of different things on here. What's your take on what we've heard so far from this Shohei Ohtani situation?
Well, I mean, it's a fascinating story. There's no doubt about it in terms of, you know, sports and gambling and they're intertwined at this point, obviously. And I have not done any reporting on the Ohtani thing. I certainly watched his press conference. That wasn't really a press conference because a press conference has questions in it, and he didn't take any the other day, just read his statement. But you know, obviously he accused the interpreter of what he did, and so now I think we're going to see, like, that felt to me that some people thought, oh, okay, well, this is over now. And I don't think that's the case at all. Without having delved into it much, I just think it's still a developing story, and there's still legal ramifications, with what various government agencies are looking into. And I mean, we'll see what happens with it all. But, you know, it sort of is kind of a thing that I think is going to hover over this season a little bit. So we'll see if that has any impact on the Dodgers and Ohtani and their fortunes on the field. But I don't think we've heard the last of it.
Yeah, I certainly don't think so either here. And before we get into the locals, I do want to ask, obviously you got a chance to go down to Florida like recently to check on both camps. What was your impressions from the spring training visits you had?
Well, I just went to the Mets for a few days. And, it's funny because I've been thinking about this a lot lately as the season approaches. I didn't love the Mets beforehand, before I got down there. But I felt like when I was there, I saw some really good performances that gave me a little more optimism about their chances. They've assembled a bunch of pitchers, obviously, because they need to put together a staff. And the guys that I saw throw while I was down there pitched pretty well. And even a guy who really stood out to me, Jose Buto, he's in the minors now, or starting the season in the minors. But I think he's going to be a guy who can contribute in some sort of role for them. But they had some, they had some guys who were intriguing. And, I feel like they're on the offensive side. Francisco Alvarez, I think, looks great and ready to make a leap forward. And, I felt better about the Mets having seen them live. Now, I don't know if that's like, proximity bias or something, but you know, me being there and seeing them play well. But it was a good trip, and I was glad to see them live before the season started. You know, I think Carlos Mendoza had he had a good vibe going through the camp too. You know, look, I mean, it's his first year as manager. Obviously, in spring training, there's going to be optimism about how he's going to do and all that stuff. You know, the bright lights aren't on him yet, and we'll see how he handles those. But it was, you know, it was eye opening to go down there. Look, this is the phrase that has to be attached to the Mets this year. If everything goes right, dot, dot, dot. And, you know, I felt even more firmly that if everything does go right for them, they could make some sort of noise, contention for that last wild card spot, something along those lines.
Yeah. And in terms of the Carlos Mendoza thing, I know you mentioned a little bit about him, but like, what was your general impression of what you got from your experience getting to see him? Obviously, we've seen him as the Yankee bench coach, his first time really leading a team now with the Mets.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot unknown. I mean, he certainly is a nice man, and I think he is cognizant of what goes into the job, because I think he's had some good mentors who have sort of clued him in on the fact that, like, you know, the media isn't this nuisance that you have to sort of abide, but that it's a part of things that happens every single day. And so I think he makes an effort in that regard. I think there's a warmth to him, certainly, like I said before, at least starting out, and we'll see where it goes from there, you know, but the players seem to enjoy him and gravitate toward him. And he seems to be have a good thing going with them. There's obviously there's competition in spring training. You're playing games, you're keeping score, you're fighting for jobs, all that sort of stuff. But the real stuff is going to happen, starting with the beginning of the season. And, you know, how is he going to react when, you know, Mets land goes crazy because he brought in a reliever in the seventh that blew the game, and now they're all blaming him when it's really the reliever's fault?
Yeah, that's for sure. He's going to have to deal with that going forward here. And, Ozzie, when you were down there, the Mets had not signed J.D. Martinez yet. He's now here. It's going to be up in about a week or so to be the DH for them. So what do you think he does for the Met lineup, J.D.?
Well, I thought there were some spots in the Met lineup before they signed him that, you know, as you get, you know, you go lower down the rung there, you kind of got to a point where you thought, well, you know, okay, maybe we'll get him in the next inning, that sort of thing. But I think the length that he provides this lineup, and it's not just like a potential threat. I mean, this guy is one of the, you know, he he does damage, and historically has been an incredible power and run producer. So I think it was a big need for the Mets, and I think they looked around and saw other teams that they hope to be competing for a wild card spot making all these late adds. And you know, the Giants did it with a couple guys, Blake Snell and Matt Chapman. You know, the Padres traded for Dylan Cease. You know, now I think the Diamondbacks have reacted to what those two teams and the Mets did by adding Jordan Montgomery, after suffering some pitching woes, as every team does. But so there was a real sense to me that the Mets felt, you know, if we're going to really be what we say we're going to be and compete for a wild card, we need to beef up a little bit. And J.D. Martinez does that. And also, Mike, I'd like to say this. I think that he will have an outsized impact on that clubhouse and some of the younger players there, because this man is a demon of preparation and video study. And he really has looked at hitting as a craft, and he has done everything he can to make himself into a better hitter. Obviously, his video study, you know, I mean, if young Met hitters aren't like positioned next to J.D. Martinez in the video room, whenever J.D. Martinez is in the video room, then they're making a mistake, because there's a lot to learn from this guy. And lest we forget, last year, one of their ex-players, Tommy Pham, criticized some of their work ethic sort of things. And can J.D. Martinez help them along in that regard? Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I think that could be a valuable add here.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, the lineup looks better. The rotation still has question marks. Kodai Senga probably not back till mid-May, the earliest. We have a bunch of guys at question marks the offseason. Yeah, they have Tyler McGill won a spring training spot here. Like, what do you think about the rotation they have here? I feel like what that does is the key to their whole season.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a lot to ask to have guys who are coming off of injury or coming off of, you know, shruggy kind of years to all sort of pull together and be really good and, you know, form a terrific rotation that leads you to the playoffs. You know, that said, Luis Severino looked great in spring training, for whatever that's worth. He's had a rough time lately, but when he's been healthy, he's pitched well. You know, there was a half a season in 2022 where he was good. You know, he's been hurt a lot, though. He's got to stay healthy. But I think if he's healthy, he can be reasonable and reasonably a good part of that rotation. I think Quintana will be good. You know, I'm not saying that any of those guys are winning the Cy Young Award or, you know, throwing 200 plus innings, anything like that. But I think they'll get representative pitching from them. I'm intrigued by Sean Manaea, who I'm interested in the idea that players evolve over their careers. And I, you know, I find it fascinating that he added a sweeper last year. He got some more velocity last year, all through hard work and puzzling out what he needed to do to get better. I think that's kind of interesting. He could have an interesting year as well. And look, there, you know, Tylor Megill has got a, you know, some high octane material to work with. He pitched well toward the end of last year, for sure. And he could have an impact. And that would be, you know, that would be the kind of sort of a benchmark of Met success as a team this year, if because of an injury, they found a guy who could be solid in their rotation and stay in it the whole year, if that's what he's able to do, you know, and we'll see about that. It's a lot to ask.
Yeah, certainly is a lot to ask here. And go to the Yankee side of town for a bit here, obviously. Big headline offseason, obviously, the Juan Soto addition. I don't think a better 1-2 like combination any lineup in baseball aside from Judge and Soto back-to-back here. So what do you think about the lineup will do last year? We had struggle scoring runs. Now you have two of the best players in baseball hitting right behind each other.
Yeah, last year the Yankees were a below-average offensive team, which sounds like crazy talk considering the what we know of them over the past 30-ish years. You know, for the thump that they've had, but they were not good. And injuries were a part of that, sure, but there was a bunch of underperformance and poor roster construction that's to blame as well for that. And, you know, I'm so glad that they addressed the lineup in the offseason, because I feel like they've had kind of like blinders on in recent years about some of their flaws. And everybody in the world can see that you need to have left-handed hitters at that ballpark. And they were like, oh, well, you know, our righties hit the ball out that way too. And it's like, I don't know. Why can't you just get a couple lefties in there? And of course, they got a great lefty in Juan Soto. He doesn't need the short porch to be an incredible offensive threat, but I think it might help him because I think that he may hit a couple of pop flies that actually become three-run homers, which will add to his stats. You know, but I like the fact that they also got Trent Grisham. Verdugo's a left-handed hitter. Rizzo, you would think, would be back to previous form or something approaching that after his post-concussion syndrome last year. So I like what they did with the lineup. I think they can score a ton of runs. You know, Gleyber Torres, who trimmed his strikeouts last year, he's coming up on his free agency year. He's going to be looking for a big year. He's a solid offensive performer. Anthony Volpe, there's a step forward to be made there offensively, especially this spring. He flattened out his swing, so maybe that's a way for him to cut down on strikeouts and add a few hits there to improve a lot of rate stats. I'm really I'm pretty high on their offense.
Yeah, for sure here. And obviously the big headline in spring was the Gerrit Cole injury. Yankees like fans, they say, had a panic attack about a week trying to figure out how long he's going to be out. Sounds like they avoided the worst case scenario. Mate, sounds like everything goes well. He's back in June. So what's the impact of Gerrit Cole being out for however long he's out in the Yankee rotation?
You know, I think they have enough to sort of be around, you know, be in it without him at the start. But I think if this gets to be a longer thing than what they're hoping for, then it becomes to me a real problem. I thought that their pitching was a little light. Their starting rotation was a little light before Cole went down. I really thought that they should have added somebody else. Look, one thing we have learned about pitching, and the teams study it more than anybody else could, is that you need more than five to get through a season. A lot more than five in many cases. I think the Yankees, I'm trying to remember if it's something like they had nine pitchers make at least nine starts, something like that last year. And I know the opener is in vogue in some cases, so you get guys making starts because of that, and it's a start, but it's not really a start. But the idea that they were always going to be five healthy and okay was never going to happen. And it actually, the guy who got hurt was the one guy who hasn't gotten hurt in his career, who's posted a lot and has been durable. I mean, he's one of five guys who threw 200 innings last season, you know, a thing that is dwindling in today's game. And he's the only one of those guys, I think, who had an ERA under three. So the other guys were kind of injury eaters, and he was incredible as a pitcher. So it hurts. If it's short, I think they can still, I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they can be around, and I think they will be in the playoffs. But where it really becomes a problem is in October, because if you have him at the top of your playoff rotation, well, I mean, that's something. If you have his replacement or whoever that is at the, you know, in your playoff rotation instead, that's a little bit shaky.
Yeah, I was looking at the stat you mentioned about the Yankee starting pitchers last year who made nine or more starts. There's eight of them, but I look here, I got one, two, three, four of them are out of the are off the team now, and Randy Vasquez also got traded to San Diego, made five starts, and they only brought Stroman in. So it does feel like they are a bit light there.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they didn't want to pay the tax for, you know, the Blake Snells of the world. And I know people have problems with Blake Snell as a potential big ticket pitcher with a long-term contract. I get it. But I mean, you have Juan Soto for 1 year guaranteed, and that's it. And you've paired him with Aaron Judge, as you were saying before, this incredible dynamic duo. Like, this is the year to just suck it up on the money and say, okay, we're going to take the hit, and, you know, but we need to reinforce. They didn't do it, and we'll see whether they're right or their fans are going to be unhappy later this season.
Yeah, that's for sure here. And you say the rotation is the base concern. Is there anything else you're worried about here with maybe some of the other guys in the lineup? I know DJ's already hurt before the season even starts, and some of the guys beyond that top four I would be concerned about in the Yankee lineup.
Yeah, and I mean, as long as the main guys are sort of driving things, I think that, you know, the other guys are fine. I mean, look, I'm not real high on DJ LeMahieu. He's hurt already, as you say. His career has definitely trended downward in recent years because of injury. And, you know, even when he's played, he hasn't been the same kind of player. Some of the times he was playing hurt, and he deserves credit for playing hurt. But obviously the performance has never been to what it was in his first two seasons in pinstripes. So, you know, but I don't think the Yankees are also like saying, like, we better, you know, DJ better hit big. He better bat 330 this year and get on base 410, you know, blah, 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 or else we're sunk. Like, I don't think it's that way for them, you know, which is a good thing, because I'm not sure he's going to hit those heights ever again in his career. And, you know, he could prove me and everyone else wrong, but that's fine. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I'm worried about. You know, but I think they look, even if they eventually have Alex Verdugo, sort of is what he is. Like, he's kind of average-ish. And if he doesn't produce, I think the Yankees have a couple of really good outfield prospects who could impact the team this year. I mean, Jason Dominguez obviously had a sensational debut last year and then got hurt, and he might be back from his Tommy John surgery, whenever that is, in midseason. I'm not saying he's going right to the majors after his recovery. He probably, or may at least, spend some time in the minors first. But, I mean, he's a dynamite prospect. Spencer Jones is a dynamite prospect. These are guys who may be called upon to impact the big league team, depending on what happens. And I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, I think my biggest concern on a Yankee fan is more of the Aaron Judge in center field for a whole year. I mean, we already had like some tweaks of like core muscles and spring training, and the way the roster constructed, he has to play center field every day, and they don't really have an option to use the DH spot for him or Soto. And I do think that's something to be worried about, considering he's a tall guy playing a defensively taxing position. He already missed a bunch of time last year to collide with the wall at Dodger Stadium here, and you wonder, like, can he hold up a full season there? Is something that, like, they need Dominguez to come up in June or July and sort of take that burden on and let Judge move somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, that is a concern. I mean, I feel like, you know, that sometimes in baseball, when you're like, you're watching these things, we think we got to bubble wrap everybody. But then, you know, like, what are you going to tell Aaron Judge? You know, I know he hurt himself running into the wall last year, but you're going to tell him not to try for the ball? Like, that's instinctually hard to do, to sort of, you know, you're playing hard and you want to win. And then you're like, okay, wait a minute. Well, I got to back up a little bit. Last year was kind of a fluke. I know he's had some injuries in his career that haven't been running into the wall injuries. And so that's a concern, you know, and I certainly get your point about playing center. But like, you can't, like, he's not a museum piece either. Like, he's got to play. And if this is what works for the team and he's willing to do it, I mean, if he's healthy, I think he's going to get near 60 home runs again this year. And I mean, he is truly a wonder on offense, an amazing thing to watch. And you'd hate to do anything. You'd hate to pull any little thread that might, I don't know, take away from that. Obviously, keeping him healthy is a huge part of the Yankee season. You know, I'm not sure what you can do to guarantee anyone's health when they're playing professional sports, though.
Yeah, sure. My last question here is, obviously, we know that both teams have playoff hopes. Yankees obviously feel like they're a bit above the Mets in terms of, you know, like, expectation level. They think they can win the division, compete for the World Series. Mets are basically saying, let's try and get that third wild card and see what happens here, like the Diamondbacks did last year. Like, do you think that both teams can get in, or you feel like this is a spot where maybe this, just the Yankees get in if everything stays health-wise, right, and the Mets are sort of, like, shuffling the deck chairs again in July?
You know, I think the Yankees are a playoff team. I think they, if Cole is healthy in October, I think they're a dangerous playoff team to get through the tournament. At that point, you know, assuming, of course, that Soto and Judge are also healthy, et cetera, you know, and that their bullpen has not imploded or anything like that, I think that they're they could be a problem in the playoffs. You know, the Mets, they got closer to the playoffs to me when they signed Martinez, and I think the idea that they could be hanging around at the trade deadline to where they would make a move to improve the team and the chances is very intriguing. And I think Martinez puts them both closer to both that, an actual playoff spot and an actual trade deadline contention period, where you would have to say, we need a pitcher and we need to get it, and we will have to go from this precious trove of prospects that I know some Met fans are just clinging to, and they won't let go of any of these guys because, of course, they're all going to be superstars, which of course isn't true. They could have a few good ones in there, but they're not all going to be superstars. So you may have to consider trading them if you feel like you have a team that has a real run in them. So, yeah, I think the Mets will hang around. I think that they will play some important baseball games in September. You know, are they going to make the playoffs? I didn't predict that in my SNY predictions. You know, I'm kind of going to stand by that just because the rotation has to click in so many different ways that, you know, five to be precise. Senga's got to come back and be good as well. Yeah, they've got a lot going on, but I think that the future is pretty bright there. And I feel like guys like I'm really high on Francisco Alvarez, watching him throw guys out in spring training. He really worked on that. And I feel like his capacity and desire to improve really speak well of him as a player. And so I'm bullish on his improvement and ascension among the catching ranks in the game, in the sport.
It should be a fun season, Andy. Thanks for all the time. I really appreciate it. If people want to follow you on social media, keep up with your baseball coverage for SNY, how can they do that?
I'm on Twitter or X at Anthony McCarron. That's probably the best place, or certainly SNY's website. Watch on SNY.
All right. Sounds good, Andy. Thanks for all the time. I really appreciate it.
You bet, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mike Phillips here. I just wanted to let you guys know, before you listen to the MLB Over-Under segment with Phil Fred, I just want to timestamp that. We recorded that one last Monday on the 18th of March here. So just so you know, this is recorded before some of the late free agent signings, including Blake Snell, the Giants, Jordan Montgomery to the Diamondbacks, and Jamie Martinez and the Mets, obviously. So this is prior to all of that stuff. So just keep that in mind when we make our picks. So until then here, go ahead. It's time to show me the money.
Show me the money. Let's look at it. I'm taking too long. Let's go. spot for a Glock. I took a long over floss, but still got a knock.
All right, we are back here on the podcast, getting ready for the baseball season here. Continuing our tradition of doing the over-under picks for win totals here. Joining me today, as always, our great legal correspondent and banking enthusiast, Phil Fratt, is here. Phil, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Doing pretty good. And I got to say, this baseball season kind of crept up on me here at the NCAA tournament, all this stuff. And it's crazy now that, like, we are recording before the Dodgers-Padres series in Korea. So technically opening day is Thursday, but for most of us, it's next week.
Yeah, even next week, though, is pretty early to start the season. Normally you start in April, so it's exciting, though. I'm ready, and I'm excited to be back for the over-under picks. Last year was not my best year, but I'm hoping to improve on that.
Yeah, I think we had a draw last year, if I remember correctly.
Well, I think we did, but I also picked the under on the Texas Rangers, and they went on to win the World Series. So
I took the over on the Mets, and we remember what happened there.
Yeah, well, that's true, but taking the under on the team that wins the World Series is rough.
Yeah, I also will say here, I hope that, like, I know people on the YouTube version see that I have the Citi Field backdrop here. I'll be at Citi Field next Thursday for opening day. I'm hoping to get a nice, like, weather day. It's not like 40 degrees at first pitch.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I'm hoping to get to Yankee Stadium in April, but I like to wait till the end of April. It's too cold at the beginning.
Yeah, it's like I have a 20-game plan with the Mets. They got a lot of April games. We're going to definitely slide one back to get us another summer spot.
Sure. Yeah. You have to. It's too cold.
Yeah. Here. So as is always here, a couple of notes here on the offseason here. It's very strange offseason because the Dodgers bought everybody and everybody else kind of just waited to see what happened here. I mean, as time of recording on March 18th, the reigning Cy Young winner, one of the best picks in the World Series, a top DH are all unsigned, which is just crazy how this offseason has gone.
Yeah, even Bellinger hung around until last week or so. On some other pod, we're going to have to do is Scott Boras still a good agent talk? Because this has been going on for a while now where his clients just kind of linger out there well into spring training, and maybe he's doing something wrong.
Yeah, I think maybe Blake Snell was starting to regret turning down the money the Yankees offered him.
If that offer is true, yeah, I would think so. But pretty crazy where we are. And, you know, offseason-wise, you're right. The Dodgers kind of, they just threw money around to get whoever they wanted to get. Good for them. The Yankees obviously made the splash with Soto. You can't overlook that. It seems like forever ago that they got him now because they got him relatively early in the offseason. But they did bring in one of the top left-handed bats in all the sport.
I know this is a trend with the Yankees of late where they make that one big, like, FU move, say, hey, we're the Yankees. Here's a great player. And then they kind of don't do much after that.
Yeah, they don't go for the kill. They tell you they're going to, that we have a lot left. And then for one reason or another, they don't. Overall, I like the offseason that the Yankees had. I think they made some nice pickups. I think Verdugo's a nice player who fits in well. I think Grisham coming over with the Soto trade. Grisham will get a lot of play, and I think he's a good backup outfielder. But, I would have liked to see somebody come along with Soto. To be fair to the Yankees, I think they made a real effort for Yamamoto. They lost that one on geography.
Yeah, I think Yamamoto, I think, was a real effort for both the New York teams. I think geography was going to – he was always going to be a Dodger the way I read it here. But I feel like Snell, I'm surprised they didn't push harder.
Yeah, I'm surprised with Snell too, but who knows? For all we know, Snell could be a Yankee by the time we finish recording.
Yeah,
he's still out there, so who knows?
Yeah, and like how long he's got there, you're not going to see him until May 1st at the earliest.
Agreed. Yeah. You're not seeing him in April. And honestly, what I'd be worried about with Snell and Montgomery at this point is it's one thing to work out in the gym. It's another thing to get real spring training reps. And you just hope those guys don't try and rush back and suffer some sort of an arm injury.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, let's get into our over-under picks here. So what we're going to do here, as always, are gonna three overs, three unders. These totals are based on DraftKings as of March 18th. And we're going to alternate picks here. Phil, as the guest, you can choose. Do you want the first pick or the second and third picks? And I'll just alternate after that.
I'll take the second and third, but I have a question for you before we start.
Sure.
And I don't know if you've checked. Did the Yankee number change at all based on the Gerrit Cole news?
Last I have is, and DraftKings has a 91.5. I don't know what it was before that.
Yeah, neither do I. I wonder what kind of effect Gerrit Cole had on that number.
I feel like it must have gone down a little bit.
It would have had to, yeah. But
because I remember last year when Edwin Diaz got hurt for the Mets, they think they dropped the number by 2 wins, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm sure it went down. Knock on wood, though, the Yankees seem like they dodged a bullet with Gerrit Cole. I think that's the best news you could have hoped for when you hear your pitcher's going for an MRI in the elbow.
Yeah, you hope that, like, if everything goes according to plan, June 1st, he's on the mound at Yankee Stadium.
That's a huge win if that happens.
Yep. All right, so I had the first pick here, so I'm going to go with one that I love on the over side here. I'm going to take the Baltimore Orioles over 90.5 as my first pick of the draft here. And I think I like what they did here, going for the kill with Corbin Burns. I think they need an ace. They got one. They have so much talent on this roster here. I think they're a little underrated here. Yes, they won over 100 games last year. It's going to be a decline. But I think a 10-win drop with ascending talent and Corbin Burns is too much. So I'll take the over on the Orioles.
I love that pick. And I say this, you know, I got the Yankee Stadium background on here for the YouTube visitors, or viewers rather. I don't think it's right that the Yankees are favored in that division. I think Baltimore is the team to beat until they prove otherwise. They have a really good young core, and Corbin Burns is exactly what they needed. He's one of the last true workhorses in the MLB. Guy going to give me 200 innings and stabilize that rotation. I like Baltimore a lot.
Plus, I mean, they have so many young guys, whether it's Adley, whether it's Gunnar Henderson. They have more coming with Colton Cowser. Jackson Holliday's on his way. Kerstad. There's, like, everywhere you look, they have, like, a young, like, top 100 kid ready to take a position.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of their young kids yet. They're on the way, and they've got some other guys in that lineup who have been there now for a few years who are still good players. Mullins is a good player.
Yeah.
I think they're ready to take a step. I think they took that step last year. They just kind of ran out of gas. But I would be scared of Baltimore. To me, that's the Yankees' biggest competition in that division.
I think they're in the American League. That's my pick being of the year, is the Orioles.
Yeah, I could see it. Could definitely see them winning the American League this year. Right. And remember, they have players like Santander, Mountcastle. These guys are quality hitters.
They're loaded.
And they're only going to get better.
Yep.
So I agree.
All right, so you're up now for your first year two picks. Where are you going here with your first pick of the draft?
You know, I'm going to do something that I can't remember if I did this last year, but if I didn't, I should have. I'm just going over with the Astros. I am going to be over on the Houston Astros until they don't hit the over. So I got the Astros number at 93.5 over. That team is always over the number. I'm just going to continue to bet it until they prove me wrong.
Yeah, it's always a logical bet because they seem to always find their way there. Thing that worry me, though, is the pitching injuries. I bet they're flirting with Snell right now because if Verlander is starting the year on the shelf, I know Urquidy got hurt in a spring training game. That's the only concern I'd have.
I would worry about it, too, but then again, they're the Astros. They'll find somebody else who will come out of nowhere and give you solid 150 innings. Until that team proves that they're going to fall off, because this has been going on now for how many years in a row? They lost Springer, they lost Cole, they lost Correa. It doesn't matter. It's just plug and play with those guys.
Yep.
So give me the Astros in the over.
All right, so you got that one on the board. Where are we going with your next pick?
Next pick, I am going to go with an under. I don't know how the Red Sox number 77.5. I don't understand it. To me, the Red Sox are one of, if not the worst teams in the American League. They have nothing. They've got Rafael Devers, and that's about it. I don't see where the wins are coming from.
Yeah, in that division, which is a brutal division, they're clearly 5 out of 5. And like the full throttle offseason turned into Lucas Giolito, who's basically out for the season, and like a couple of random guys along the fringes here. I know they're still linked to Montgomery. Either they get him. I don't think that's enough to clear the number.
Right. I mean, they won 78 games last year. So the number 77.5. So I get it. I would lose last year, but I think they're worse.
Yeah, they are worse.
I think they're worse than they were last year. So, and I think the Yankees are better. And I think Baltimore is just as good. I don't see it. I don't see them winning that 77.5. Give me the under on the Red Sox.
All right. So that's the first on the board. I would have gone there if you hadn't taken it. So I'm going to go now with my next pick here. I'm going to continue the American League East trend here. I'm taking the Rays over 84.5. I feel like now everybody wants to, you know, say, oh, the Yankees, the Orioles. Tampa's number here is very low. I know they traded away Glasnow. I know they let some guys walk, but this is Tampa. So I like the odds on that track record. Whoever they put there, they're going to find a way. And I feel like this is a low number. I feel like they're going to be right around 90 wins. They're going to be right in the hunt for a wild card. They always find a way to develop pitching, and they got some guys who have some potential this year. I always stack around Rays in my fantasy baseball league, and I know they find ways to develop pitching gems here. Over 84.5 feels like a lock for Tampa.
Tampa, like you said, I put them in that Astros category. Until they prove me wrong, they will be over. So I agree with that. I don't care who they bring out there. They find a way to find players, and they're – the list goes on and on with them and the guys they've lost over the years, and it hasn't mattered at all. So I agree with that.
All right. You're up on the board now. You've done one over and one under. Where are you going next?
I'll give you another over. Give me the Detroit Tigers in the 80.5. The Tigers came on really strong at the end of last year. They got the 78 wins. They have a lot of good young hitters in that lineup. And last year they were just absolutely decimated by injury in the starting rotation. So I think if they can get some of those starting pitchers back and healthy, some of the young kids, I could see a low 80s or even mid-80s year from the Tigers. So give me the Tigers in the over.
It's a solid value for the Tigers. Obviously, they got an emerging ace in Tarik Skubal here. They did bring in Maeda and Jack Flaherty for rotation depth, which I think helps here. And they have a lot of promise here, some of these young hitters. And, like, the division's weak. So, like, if somebody's second place, why not them?
Yeah, and if you look up and down that lineup, I think you'll be surprised. They have a lot of quality young hitters around Riley Green.
Yeah, they do. I mean, Spencer Torkelson had a big year. I know they gave Colt Keith that contract for third base. I feel like he's going to be up sooner than later. Like, I think it's a good spot for them.
Yeah, so give me the Tigers in the over.
All right. I'm going to go with my first under here. This is another team here that did nothing in the offseason. I'm going under 60.5 on the Rockies. And the number is very low, but this team did nothing. And they're in a brutal division. They're in a brutal National League. They're running well behind these teams. And they lost 100 games the first time last year. I don't see where they're getting better. They don't have a lot of prospects on the fringe. They didn't really add a ton of guys. They did nothing. And it's only got harder. So I think expecting, unless you think Chris Bryant is turning back the time machine in 2016, I think this is going to be a very easy under.
I agree that they're pretty bad. They're really bad. I just, a number that low scares me because it's easy for a bad team to win 62 or even 63 games or something like that, and then you lose.
For me,
I don't hate it. I just, that number is so low.
Yeah, for me, that's the reason I didn't go near Oakland because their number is 56.5, I believe. Like that, I can't go near. They're basically saying, oh, you're guaranteed 105 losses, where, like, if they go 100 losses, that's an improvement. Here, I think, like, this is basically saying this is exactly where they were last year. I don't think they're improving.
Yeah, I see it. I wouldn't touch it, but I get the rationale.
All right, so you're up now. You've done two overs and one under. Where are you going next?
I'm going to go to the American League West. Give me an under on the Seattle Mariners. Mariners are at 87.5. I think it's a fair number, but I haven't seen Seattle make that jump over the past couple of years. They've hovered around 90 wins. And until I see it with the Rangers and the Astros in that division, I could see a disappointing low 80s finish for Seattle.
Yeah, I think the Poto's comments the other how we have to try and maintain a 540 winning percentage over 10 years to give ourselves the most chance to contend for a World Series plays in your favor there because, like, the team he's built is great pitching-wise, but, like, they don't have a ton of hitting beyond their big three guys.
Right. And I get what they're trying to do. They're just trying to sneak in and see if they can have a run. And it might happen. Texas and Houston are both great. And I think they're going to have a hard time competing with those guys.
Yeah.
Now, they make up some wins by getting Oakland, and even the Angels, but still, I it's a tough one, but I'm going with the under. I don't think it'll be a big under. I think it's a good number, but I'm going with the under.
Yeah, they feel sort of now like the mid-2010s Mets were, where it's like, if they get to the playoffs, they're scary with their pitching that they have, but like the issue is them stacking the regular season wins to get into the playoffs, even with this expanded format.
Right. I agree.
All right, so I'm up now. I still have to do two unders and one over here, so I'm going to go back to the under well here, and this is one where I'm just taking it because the number is just absurd. I'm going under 103.5 in the Dodgers because, I mean, I know this is a super team. I know that when things go well that they can be ridiculous here, but this is a lot of wins to be asking on the board. If they win 101 games, that's a loss that's a win for me. So I think considering you don't know what Yamamoto is going to do coming over to America, there's going to be an adjustment period here. Remember, Kodai Senga last year had some issues when he first showed up. He had to adjust to the baseball and the league and the culture. You have a lot of injury-prone pitchers. They have issues now on defense. They put Mookie Betts at shortstop. I think they still easily win the National League West, but I think asking for 105-win juggernaut is a lot. So I'll take the under and play the odds.
Yeah, I could see it. The Japanese pitcher thing is interesting because if you think back over the years, almost every single guy who's come over has struggled out of the gate, with the exception of Tanaka, who was just fantastic out of the gate before the injury. But as I think through it, Hideo Nomo, but that's years ago now, but everybody else who came over did have that struggle at the beginning, that adjustment to the ball and the pitching every 5 days. I have no reason to believe Yamamoto won't be able to make the adjustment, but with a number that big, if it takes him 6 weeks to make the adjustment, you're already probably going to hit the under.
Yeah, plus I don't love the fact they have so many pitching injuries already. I know they have depth, but like they're relying on like James Paxton to make a lot of starts, and that's something that could cost them early on.
And not happening. If there's a over-under on James Paxton starts, I'm taking the under.
Yep. All right, so you have one over, one under left. What are you doing next?
So, always gets tough when you get here. On the over side, let me go over. Real tough. You know what? I'm going to do it just for fun. Give me over on the Yankees in the 91.5. It's a kind of pick with the heart, but if this team as currently assembled can't win 92 games, then I don't know what's next. Then it's fire everybody and just burn it to the ground. But if you've got Aaron Judge and Juan Soto in a lineup and you get those two guys to play 145 games each, you should win 92 games by those two guys alone. Plus the Yankee bullpen is just power arm after power arm. And they've got a lot of questions in the rotation, but they do have guys who have proven track records in there. You're getting Cole back. I'm kind of buying this number, hoping that they make another move between now and the season. Maybe it is a Blake Snell, but give me the over on the Yankees.
Yeah, for me, this is a stay away / lean under to me because, again, Cole's already hurt. Judge has had his issues on spring training already. His body type and asking to play center field every day is tough. And there's a lot of questions at rotation, whether it's can Nestor bounce back? Is Rodon going to bounce back after the rough year one? What are you going to do in the back end while Cole is out here? I think this is a team that won 82 games last year. And yes, Juan Soto helps and Stroman helps and Verdugo helps. But I don't know if the three of them combining with the Cole injury give you 10 more wins.
The three of them combined with the Cole injury, I don't think give you 10 more wins. Aaron Judge for 150 games plus the three of them combined, I think could give you the 10 more wins.
Yeah.
But that's the same conversation we've been having with the Yankees for 8 years now. If they stay healthy, they'll win games. And I get it. It's a big if because it hasn't happened.
All right. So you're on the board here with your finisher overs here. I will do the same here. I'm going to go over on the Cincinnati Reds at 81.5. I love their collection of young talent here. I think they got a great shot to win the National League Central. This team made a surprise run for a wild card last year, fell short in the end. They fortified their pitching a bit with a bunch of depth options here. They have a really well-rounded line of position players. It's very exciting here. The NL Central is not really a runaway division for anybody. The Cubs might be the favorite, but I actually like the Reds to win the division here, and I'm getting them basically 82 and 80 gets me the win. I'll take the Reds.
Yeah, that's a fair number for the Reds. Can't hate it. They seem like a 500 team, so.
Yeah, I'm buying what I saw last year. I think they're going to be good, so I'll take the over.
Yeah, all right. And then I'll close us off on my unders. Give me under on the Diamondbacks. I know they're fresh off the World Series appearance. I think that team caught lightning in a bottle. I don't think it's very good. I don't even like their young core that much. I think they don't have a lot of good players in the young core. I know they brought in E-Rod to try and stabilize the rotation a little bit, but I don't love Arizona. I think San Diego is going to make a little bit of a leap this year. So give me the under on the Diamondbacks. I've got that number at 83.5.
Yeah, it's just funny because they won 84 last year and then got in the playoffs and went to the World Series here. So basically, like, you're not buying that, like, within the offseason is good enough.
No, I think they caught lightning in a bottle. Good for them. They had a nice run, but I don't think they're repeating. I think they're an 82, 81 type win team.
Yeah. And also notice here, which is fun, we've covered four of the five teams in the American League East so far in our picks.
Make it number five.
I am making number five. Taking the under on the Blue Jays at 86.5. I think this team.
I agree.
I think Toronto here, something is wrong with that core. Like, this group consistently finds ways to underachieve. They have what should be good pitching. Vlad Guerrero is backslid. They lost Matt Chapman, which I think is a big loss for them at third base. They brought in Justin Turner, who's not going to be nearly enough to sort of some place to get in offensively. The defense is going to be a big downgrade. And they have a lot of guys who are sort of supposed to be better than they are. Like, I think the individuals are better than the whole of the team. I think that also nothing that you worry about Toronto, they have been very healthy on the pitching side for 2 years, which means it feels like regression is due for them on the injury front, which would be bad. So I'm going to take Toronto on the under.
I agree. That's a team that, like you said, something is wrong. It just doesn't click. I don't know why, but they haven't been able to achieve, and they carry themselves as if they've won five World Series in a row. It's very odd, and I don't like it. Maybe it's a leadership issue. I don't know what it is, but I agree on the under there with Toronto. Until they could show me otherwise, that just seems like a team with names that can't get it together.
Yeah, there's a lot of big names. A lot of guys you got to take your fantasy draft if you're doing a fantasy baseball system here. But, like, I just, for some whatever reason, it just doesn't vibe. They don't seem to win enough games. And, like, they've gotten the playoffs, gotten bounced out in the first round 2 years in a row.
Yeah, it's been going on for years with that team.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if things turn around here. But I don't see it.
All right, so to reset the picks here. Phil has got the Astros over 93.5, the Red Sox under 77.5, Detroit over 80.5, the Mariners under 87.5, Yankees over 91.5, Diamondbacks under 83.5. So a pretty solid, like, range of values there for Phil. Like,
mostly in the American League there, but I dabbled in the National League a little bit.
Yeah, my picks here, the Orioles over 90.5, the Rays over 84.5, the Rockies under 60.5, the Dodgers under 103.5, Reds over 81.5, and the Blue Jays under 86.5. So those are the picks here. And we'll take a quick note, detour to the Mets here, because neither of us touched that number, 81.5. Like, to me, it feels like that's right on the nose. That's why I don't want to touch it, because there are scenarios here where I could see them going over this. I could see them going to 75 wins again. So it all depends on what they get out of their pitching staff, and I don't want to be betting my money on that.
Yeah, that's fair. Let me ask you, as a Mets fan, what is your take on what's going on? How much longer is the Steve Cohen honeymoon before you're upset with Steve?
If we're not spending big next offseason, I like the plan this year to sort of, you know, see what we have in these kids, see what's going on here. Like, they should be able to retain people. Like, if they're not, like, going and getting an ace next offseason, I'm not even counting Soto, because I'm not assuming that's going to happen, but, like, if they go, don't give me an ace and Alonso, and sort of make the run to 25 like they told Scherzer, then I'd be disappointed.
Okay, so Steve's got one more season for the honeymoon.
Yeah, because like if Scherzer's believe that this 25 is their big window here, if they don't give us another offseason like this again, I'd not be happy.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't really understand what they did this offseason. It confused me. They went hard on Yamamoto, didn't get him, and then just kind of gave up.
The way I look at the offseason here is I think I understand what they did is that they sort of looked at it here as, hey, we gave big money to a bunch of older free agents. It didn't work. We're not going to do that again. Like, we're not going to go overpay for a mediocre free agent class. Like, we'll go get guys on one-year deals. Like, backstop, if we happen to be in contention, great, we'll go ahead of the deadline. If not, we'll sell off again, and then we'll go for next winter and save our bucks in a bigger class.
Okay, I see it. But why go so hard after Yamamoto then? Just
because he's
generational talent?
Generational. Right? How often do you get a potential 25-year-old ace hitting the market?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing you throw your money at.
Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah, and I think
we'll see if they do it next year, because next year you got a potential 26-year-old best left-handed hitter in the game hitting free agency. So we'll see if they go after him.
I'm sure he'll be getting a phone call.
I'm sure he will. Yeah. And that'll be the real test for Hal Steinbrenner. We'll see if he's really turned into his father or not.
Yeah, we will see here, Phil. Thanks for all the time. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks. Looking forward to the season.
All right, and that will do it for this week's podcast. So I thank my guest, Anthony McCarron, for coming on once again to do the MLB opening day preview. That was a fun spot. I also want to thank Phil Fred for his annual tradition of doing the MLB over-under pick. So that's some fun stuff there. Working stuff like this podcast, including my look back, my full bracket on the NCAA tournament. And remember, I put it out there prior to the tournament to be transparent. Check out the blog over at justandthesuffering.wordpress.com. Check out the Sky Guys podcast as well. We got a big episode of the Bad Batch coming up here on day of recording. We are recording the episode 9 recap. So that's going to be up in the Sky Guys feed later tonight. You want that podcast, same platform as the top of the show, the Sky Guys podcast here. Just follow me on social media at mphillips331. That's mphillips331. That's going to do it here for the second podcast. We'll be back on Monday night here with another March Madness recap with Troy Moriello. We're going to have some more fun as well. Until then, have a good baseball season, everybody.
This has been the Just End the Suffering podcast.
I'm out.